You don't often realize when you are in a place like you are in the midst of classes and in the midst of trying to be good stewards of God's calling and in the midst of busyness and for some of you family and jobs and all the rest of that, you don't maybe realize, but you are a blessing to the world because you are here faithfully pursuing what God has called you to do. And it's been a blessing to my heart just to be around you and to be here in this place. And I appreciate your hospitality here as I've been able to join you in this. I wanted to let you know a couple small things in terms of announcements. Today, I will be around a little bit. I would love to catch up with some of you and get to know some of you a little more. I would love to hear what God's calling you to and what maybe is next for you as best you know or any of those things. So if you have some time this afternoon, right after lunch from 1 to 3, I'll be in Sherry Schmidt's office down there in the first floor and would love to connect. So if you'd want to come by, I'd love to chat with you. And I'll make some time available tomorrow afternoon in that same place as well. Tonight I'll be in the men's dorm looking forward to, I heard good food. That's what I heard. So I'm looking forward to that. I trust that men can eat, so that's good. So I'll look forward to that. Also, I wanted to let you know tomorrow night, I'd love to invite any of you who'd be interested to come, but we're going to do right in this room at 7 o'clock, we're going to do some conversation about youth ministry, ministry with adolescents and to young people. And that will be a time of learning. So there'll be some things that I want to share, but there'll also be some things that I want to hear from you all. And I think as we come together and share some of the things that God is doing in our midst and among young people around the world, I think there'll be some great opportunities to learn together. So I hope if you're interested at all in that, that you'll join us right here in this room at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We've been on this journey as we've been talking about tearing down walls. And then last night we talked about building bridges. And then today I want to talk a little bit about what it means to bond in love. This journey is an interesting one because it starts in some ways with brokenness. And we can't help but notice the brokenness in the world around us. Yes? Right? I mean, we can't help but see all of these places in our world where things are broken. Whether it's maybe, like, in my case, I have a daughter who is learning to drive, and since I've been here, she hit one of our other cars. So there's brokenness. There's brokenness at my house. But we see brokenness other places, too. Brokenness in relationships. We see broken relationship with creation. We see broken relationships with maybe family members. We see broken relationships with the larger world around us. We see brokenness in our world. And sometimes it's easy just to focus on the broken. But as we begin today, I want to back up in our story. But before I do that, I'd like to pray. So if you would bow your heads and hearts with me. God, we thank you so much for your son, Jesus Christ, and for what he means to us as we worship him and as we praise him. And God, hopefully as we point to him, God, I pray that you would bring us together today. Help us to see the places where you are working to bring wholeness to things that are broken. So we invite your teacher, the true teacher, your spirit, to teach us today in Jesus' name. Amen. The story that we often are told and focus on is on brokenness. But sometimes we forget that the story doesn't start in brokenness. It starts way back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 in the beautiful poem that is Genesis chapter 1. And most of us know this verse by heart. We probably memorized it. For me, it was one of the very first Bible verses I memorized as a child. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then the second verse is also really important in this. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Some things that are really interesting that are happening right at the beginning of our story. Earth was formless and empty. Darkness over the surface of the deep. There's a word there, that surface of the deep. There's a word there that could be translated into chaos, into this idea of abyss. And in the Hebrew, there's this word that that sometimes is translated into water, into this deep water, this idea of water. And so you have this picture of kind of this chaos, this kind of mess of things. And then who's there? The Spirit of God is there, hovering over the waters. And then what happens in the next verse? And the verses after that is what? God begins to create. And it is, say it, good. Let's try it again. It is good. And not just kind of good, right? The word good means beautiful. It means perfect. Like in our cultures, we often have a word like good, and then we have better, and then best. But that's not the right way to think of this. This is good in the sense that it is perfect and beautiful and whole. And this is how God creates things. So there's a pattern here I want you to see that's really important, because as we begin to engage this world, as we begin to engage God's work in this world, this is the pattern we begin to see over and over. So it's this: chaos, spirit, good. So turn to your neighbor right now and just say those three words: chaos, spirit, good. All right, turn to your other neighbor. Some of you didn't do it. Don't think I don't see. I can see. So turn to your other neighbor. You can practice now. Go ahead and say it. That was better. That was better. Okay. That was better. Some of the places where I preach, people are very loud and they talk back to you. And some places people don't say anything. I'm not sure yet which you guys are. I think maybe a little bit of a mixture. So, but feel free. Whatever you're comfortable with is good. But we understand brokenness. Brokenness, so God creates things out of chaos. The Spirit is there and creates things, and they are good, and they are beautiful, and they are wonderful. But then we do know the story continues. In Genesis chapter 3, what happens? Adam and Eve do what all of us would do. In fact, this is a story that we live out over and over again all the time, right? Because we choose our way over God's way, and what happens? That leads to broken relationship, at least to broken things. So we get this in our world. So just imagine if you're in a relationship with someone and that relationship ends. Sometimes we use a phrase, we might say that we broke up. Has anybody heard that phrase before? Broke up. Or maybe we would say, my heart is broken. How many of you have heard broken heart before? Yeah? And so we understand at our core level, I don't know why there's giggling going on, but that's usually sad. But anyway, but we understand in our culture and in our world at a core level that when we aren't living in right relationship, brokenness comes. But here's the thing about brokenness, about broken things, is that no matter how hard we try, we can never put it back together in a whole way again, right? When I was 7 years old, my mom had a beautiful plant that she was growing in our house. And it was a hanging plant, and she hung it in the front window of our house. And it hung all the way from, she hung it up high, and it hung all the way down. It was beautiful, filled the window all the way down to the floor. She was so proud of this plant. Her friends would come over and look at the plant. Oh, it is so beautiful, they would say. And my mom was very proud of this plant. So, of course, as a child, my job was to never touch the plant, right? Do not. I am good at a few things. One of them is breaking things. So I was told, never, never touch the plant. Well, you probably already know where this story is going. So, because we live in the future. But my brother and I have a brother who is 2 years older than I, and we were very close growing up. And so we were playing together one day. And I don't know where my father was or my sister was, but we were playing, and I remember my mom was out back in the garden, so she wasn't watching us every moment. And so we were playing, and we ran into this front room where the plant was, and who knows what else we were doing, but my brother just looked at me, and he said, "Brian, I dare you to swing on that plant," which meant, of course, as a seven-year-old, that I had to swing on the plant. So I backed up and I ran and I jumped and I grabbed the plant and it was going great. And then the next thing I know, I'm laying on my back on the floor of the front room and the pot is broken and in pieces and the dirt is everywhere and the plant is broken into pieces. And it's one of those moments, you know this moment, where it feels like time stops, right? And I'm laying on the floor, and my brother and I look at each other. And we knew in that moment that no matter how hard we tried, we couldn't possibly take that pot and put it back together. Even if we had all the super glue in the world, we couldn't make it the same. And we knew looking around the room that there's no way, even if we got the pot back together, we could pick up all that dirt and put it back in there. And we knew looking at the plant that was broken into pieces, there's no way we could put it back together. And this is what happens at the very beginning of our story. God creates things that are good, and then brokenness happens. And despite our best efforts as people, we can never take the things that we've broken and make them whole again. You know this, right? Some of us have broken parts of our body before. Arms, legs, bones. Yes, some of you. And no matter what they tell you or what television shows portray, even if you get fixed, even if the doctors make you better, you're never the same, wholly the same, right? You know this, yes? I have a knee that I've had surgery on. I have an ankle that I've had surgery on. I've had another ankle that I've had surgery on. And they're not the same, right? I just can't do some of the same things. It's just not the same. No matter what we do, we can't really make things whole. There's only one who can make things whole again. And so as we start to read the scripture, if you start in the beginning and read things were good, and then we humanity, Adam and Eve, we chose our way over God's way, brokenness comes. And then what happens in the story is this. If you pay attention to the prophets throughout the Old Testament, they promise something. Look, they realize humanity, you cannot put things back together no matter how hard you try. But, God says, I will not leave you alone. I will send one, a Messiah, who will come, a Savior who will come and make things whole again. Now, here we pick up in the story again from Matthew. So I want you to just get this picture. We've got this, what are the three words again that you just said? What are the three words? Chaos, spirit, good. Okay, remember that as you read this. Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized. John tried to deter him. I need to be baptized to you, but you come to me. Jesus replied, let it be so now, for it's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. That's an important phrase. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, here's the picture. The water, remember that word for water is the same word used in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The deep, the chaos. Jesus enters into the chaos. He enters into the water. And then it says, as he came up out of the water at that moment, heaven was opened. The book of Mark, when it recounts this, it says heaven is ripped open. And so heaven is opened, and he saw the Spirit of God. Who's there? God's Spirit, chaos, Spirit of God, lighting on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. It is good. Chaos, Spirit, good. Now, for some of us, we don't really see this analogy very well, but I promise you, the Jews of the day who were standing there at the riverbed, who were watching this happen, would have made the connection. Jesus wasn't doing this by accident. He was symbolically saying, I have come to enter into the chaos, into the brokenness, and out of the brokenness through his Spirit, do what? Bring things back to wholeness, to good again. So I want you to do this with your hands. Put your hands together like this. This is whole. Things are whole. We know what whole looks like. We long for this in our spirit, right? We long for right relationship with the people around us. This is whole. Now go like this, broken, okay? This is something I taught even my children when they were growing up, whole and broken, whole and broken. And so one day my oldest son and I, when he was young, we were walking to the grocery store, and as we were walking in the right in front of the store, there was a mom and her young son, and she was screaming at her young son. And I don't know what he did to make her so mad, but she was screaming at him. And as my son walked by, he just turned to me and said, broken, broken. Because at every level, even when we are young to when we are old, we understand that we long for something to be whole, but we understand a world that is broken. So what I want to talk about here in our last few minutes is this one who can make things whole. See, in our world, we've been talking about these ideas of tearing down walls, building bridges, and we've been talking about it mostly in terms of relationships. And I want to stay there today, if you can stay there with me. I don't know about the people that you know, But you walk out the gates here, and you drive into Manila, however many hours it takes you to get downtown. And there are people everywhere, people on top of people, 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 people. But many of those people are lonely people. Many of those people are living in brokenness, yes? Many of them are people who desperately are looking for a relationship, for somebody to care, for a relationship to step into that is bigger than just the way the world does things. So how does the world do things? Well, in our chaos of our world, we value people for what they can do for us, right? So I care about somebody only what they can do for me. So when I interact with somebody, I care about them only because they can help me do something. Or we care about them because they become an object for us, somebody to look at or to perceive in a certain way. Yes, our culture does this. Sometimes we see people just as a collection of their interests. Let me explain that for a minute. When we meet people, sometimes we start to ask them, tell me what you like to do, or tell me about what you do. But when we start there, we fail to realize that people are way more than what they do, yes? They're way more than just the things they are slightly interested in. I'm more than a fan of a sports team. I'm more than a teacher. I'm more than a father, although I am those things. What we really are is relationships, right? And if you think about the people that you interact with, not just here on campus, maybe some of them, but outside these walls, as you start to walk around this world, we can't help but see so many people who don't have anyone in their life that values them as a person first and foremost, who cares about them because they are created in God's image. Somebody who cares about them and their relationships. And so we live in this world of chaos, but when we begin to see the Spirit of God at work in our world, then we begin to see that our identity is not in our stuff or what we do, but our identity is in Christ. Amen? He is with us. One of the things that God has been teaching me over the last several years is that He is not just a God who is great and mighty. He is also a God of vulnerability. He's a God who enters into our brokenness, into our chaos, into our broken relationships. He enters into those very places. He is with us in them. Have you ever had somebody ask you, as I did just last week, in the midst of an incredibly difficult situation where a loved one of theirs died inexplicably and they were in deep grieving, and they just said, "Where is God in this?" Have you ever had somebody ask you that? And what it's the answer to that, which I didn't give them that answer, but the answer to that, which we often sometimes struggle to admit, is that God is right there with you in the midst of that. And if we're willing in the midst of our brokenness to stop and look around, instead of just complaining about it, maybe you're like me. Sometimes when bad things happen, instead of saying, okay, where is God in this? I just start complaining. Anybody else like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but yeah. So in the midst of that, what if we began to see that Jesus is right there with us, doing what? Entering into this brokenness and mending those things that are broken. That's what He does. And despite our best efforts, we cannot do this on our own. Amen? And here's the thing. Look, you guys, all of you, I've met every single one of you, but I've met many of you, and you are intelligent people. You are sharp people. You are gifted people. And despite sometimes, I think maybe those gifts and that intelligence for us can be a curse almost. Because we're so intelligent and because we're so gifted, we often think, I can do this by myself. How does that work out, by the way, if you ever try to fix those things that are broken? All by yourself. If I'd have tried to put the pot back together, it wouldn't have worked out, right? But here's the thing. God enters into those things. And so there's good that comes when we're willing to see God's Spirit at work. And just a few verses I want to share with you. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give you. Love one another. See, when we follow Jesus, this is the call. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if we follow his Spirit and join, if we recognize that we're with Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The brokenness is gone. The new is here. Is that good news? Yeah, that's good news. And then from Jesus' prayer in the garden in John chapter 17, right before he's getting ready to be crucified, the people have not come to arrest him yet, but he's praying, and this is part of his prayer for us. I being Jesus, in them, and you, Father, in me, so that they may be brought to, did you catch this phrase? Complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. See, part of what the world is looking at is those who follow Jesus. They're asking some questions. Are you any less broken than the rest of us? And the statistics tell us, I'm sure you've probably seen them, that most Christians really don't behave much different than the rest of the world. We divorce spouses almost the exact same rate as the rest of the world. We cheat on our taxes pretty much the same as the rest of the world. We, whatever the moral things that you could list, we drink alcohol as much as everybody else. We do all of these things pretty much the same. And the world is looking and asking, are you going to be unified? Are you going to mirror the kingdom of God, or are you just like us? There's one last picture I want to show you in our time together. This is an icon. How many of you have seen this icon? Can you raise your hands? Several of you? Okay. This is done by this guy, Andrei Rublev, and we think it was around 1410 that he did this icon for the first time, and it's an icon of to represent the Trinity. That's what it's called, the Trinity. And some people can tell the difference between who's who, the Father, Son, Spirit, but he purposely put them to be very, very similar in their looks and appearance because he wanted people to understand how close they were together. But the picture here is this, that the Father, Son, and Spirit are in perfect unity together. They're so united that they are one. And so even though there is differences in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit are different, they're constantly pouring out into one another, serving one another, loving one another. And it's out of this perfect community that we are created for community. Now, here's what's interesting. Stay with me on this. For a long time, the original of this was missing. They couldn't find it. They thought it was lost. But they eventually did find what they're pretty sure is the original of this. And as they found it, it had been all marked up and there was dirt all over it and all these kinds of things. And they brought in some experts and they started cleaning it up and making it beautiful. And here's the thing. Do you see this little square right underneath the bowl on the table? See that little square? When they got to that spot to clean it up, they found a substance on there, and they were really confused by the substance because it wasn't like anything else that they had cleaned off of this. It was a different kind of thing, and so they began to look at it and study it, and they did some scientific chemical analysis of what that was, and they began to realize something, and what most scholars today believe is that that was a little piece of glue. And what they believe is the original icon, they believe what the church did with it is they took and put right there at that spot, they put a mirror there. Just a small piece of glass, a small mirror, so that they would basically show this and they would say, look, you are invited to the table with the Trinity. Because of Jesus, you are invited into this community. You are invited to bond in this place of love. Do you catch that invitation? But that only comes when we're willing to see God at work in us. Yes? It only comes when we're willing to depend on Him. So in our world today, in the midst of these places where so many people are broken and so many people are living in loneliness and so many people are wandering, I wonder what it would look like if we would start to reach out to people and invite them to the table of the Trinity. What kind of change would that make in our relationships? So as we finish up, I'm going to ask you a simple question. And so I'd like you to just to think, maybe God, is there somebody that you would like to invite me to reach out to? And so just I want you to think, who's within my reach? I want you to not think about some mystery person, but just maybe it's somebody that you interact with on a regular basis. Maybe it's somebody on this campus. Maybe it's somebody outside the walls that you just see as you pass by. Maybe it's somebody that you work with, or maybe it's somebody that's in a class with you. I don't know. But just ask some simple questions. How can I invite them into this kind of community, this place of love? Can I start by just asking them to a meal? Can I share a meal with them? Can I worship with them? Can I serve with them? Can I invite them to teach me something? Can I celebrate a big life moment with them? Can I share an experience with them? I don't know what this brokenness and wholeness, I don't know where you are in your life. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me, and I just want to spend a time in prayer. And I want you just to think about the relationships, the people that you interact with. And as you trace through kind of the web of relationships in your lives, I want you just to ask God to show you maybe there's one person that you can reach out to bond in love, to invite into this place where Jesus is at work to bring wholeness to things that are broken. Father, we pray today, we confess that when we choose our way over your way, it leads to brokenness. God, we confess that in relationships, we have done things that have led to brokenness. Maybe even in this room with some people, we've done some things that have broken that relationship. And so we just confess that and repent that today. God, we confess today that sometimes with the world around us, we've done some things that have kept relationship from happening, that have led to brokenness. And so, God, we confess that, and we ask that you would enter into those relationships as only you can to bring wholeness to things that are broken. And we know that when you are involved, when you are in the midst of that, bringing wholeness, that it is good. And so we ask that you would put somebody on our heart today that we could reach out to invite into this perfect community that you create in your Trinity. This perfect community that you invite us into through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he comes to us and enters into our brokenness, I pray that you would teach us to depend and lean on him. We pray these things today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.